Have you ever seen Moist Critical, Charlie? Have you seen him play a horror game?
No, I've not seen him play a horror game, no.
Nothing.
Oh, really? He loves that type of stuff, does he?
Flinch.
Yeah. That's just not me. I'm that guy whose child, you saw the video where the child just touches his arm whilst he's playing a horror game and he screams like a big girl because the child came out of nowhere. That's me. Like, I'm not Moist Critical. I'm not Charlie. I haven't got those balls of steel or whatever you want. You know.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of everyone's favorite podcast, the Critical Arcade Podcast. I'm your co-host, Nick.
And I'm Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, Nick. Are you well?
Yes, I am well.
Why? Like, after this game, after reviewing this game, you're still well?
Yes, I'm still well.
You're good? Like, you please.
You know I like these games.
Yeah, you're one of those people. Which there was a lot of you out there. I think I'm the minority here. But yeah,
definitely
like
not.
Games.
No, I think people who like horror are the minority. I wouldn't call them a minority, but I think the majority of people would watch a comedy.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's still to this day, I don't understand the want to be scared. I watch scary movies, but even haunted houses. Yeah. Haunted houses, I've got no want to go in because I don't want to be scared. I don't want somebody to jump out at me and go, rah.
It's a lot of fun. You should try it.
I as a kid, there's a theme park in England called Alton Towers.
Yeah.
And the first time I went into it, I just closed my eyes the entire time throughout the whole thing. And till that day, I fundamentally still do the same thing. I'm not one of those people who likes being jump scared or tricked.
Ladies and gents, if there are any of you who like horrors, look behind you.
Ooh, that would be creepy when people, they look behind them and something was there. Even if it's just like their sister or their child or the dog. Like, whoa, how did you know
Two scenarios. Yeah. If there was something behind you, leave us 5 stars. Yeah, if there was exactly. Nothing behind you, also leave us 5 stars.
Leave us 5 stars, yeah, exactly.
Yes, please, do it.
Way to go. Anyway, so, if you haven't guessed, we're doing a horror game.
I am happy. I enjoy horror games.
You love horror games.
It's the good stuff.
And this is more than just, I would define this more, this is a psychological horror game. This is more than just, I know, Dead Space or Doom. I don't know if you define Doom as a horror game. It's kind of horror-esque.
I don't know. It's in a horrifying setting.
Yeah, it's got demons and Mars.
You're not... Okay, we can get into the gameplay for this, but there's a stark difference between your power levels in Amnesia and in Doom.
Exactly right. Ladies and gents, we are playing it's the very first Amnesia game, Dark Descent.
That's right.
Released in 2010. It's now 14 years old.
That's insane.
Don't get me started. Like, I can't believe the game. To me, this game's still like newish and recent, and it only came out a while ago, right?
Yeah, because this was one of the first kind of viral hits that the internet popularized.
Yeah, that's true.
Older games can't be popularized by the internet because the internet wasn't around for older games.
Yes, very true.
So
very
this
true.
Is kind of contradictory. Mm-hmm. It being an old game and also. Viral.
Yeah,
on
that's
internet.
True. That's true. It's one, like you said, it is one of the first games in my memory where you're right. It was like, God, what did we have? Facebook was probably talking about it, and people were all talking about the Amnesia games and got YouTube. You know,
YouTube was filled with this game.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. I remember seeing it more on the internet than anywhere else, just people talking about it or reviewing it and stuff like that.
Good old PewDiePie, Markiplier.
Yeah, exactly. The old school. That's it. Yeah, the old school lot.
Yeah.
It was developed by Fictional Games.
Fictional.
Is it Fictional or Frictional? Sorry,
Frictional.
Fictional Games. Who also did you ever play the Penumbra? Penumbra?
No, I didn't.
They were the games they made before this. They were also kind of like a psychological thriller-esque to them. Puzzles and stuff like that. They got kind of a good following. They didn't, of course, explode like Amnesia did.
Yeah.
But they actually got a lot in common. They you can see if you ever played.
Oh, I can imagine. Would you say
the gameplay and the puzzles and stuff are kind of alike in the games?
Would you say the devs learned from Penumbra to make Amnesia the hit it was?
Definitely. If you actually just look back on it, you can see key notes from the original those games, and then it
okay.
Moved
so Penumbra had to walk for Amnesia.
Yeah,
to run.
Exactly. And then they made Soma, which I think was after Amnesia, but before
they made Soma as well.
Yeah. I never played that. I remember hearing about it or seeing it, but I didn't really do much else.
It's got some thick existentialism.
Oh, wow. So that's got like a hardcore type.
Oh, yeah.
Play and think and discover.
Yes,
and like,
yes, 100%.
Geez.
You play and you think.
Yeah, okay.
But you also think and you play.
Yeah, I like it. They're also known for, of course, Amnesia's got, what is it? I don't know what the other ones are called. Something of Pigs.
Yeah, so it's The Dark Descent. That's the first one. And a couple of years after that, they made A Machine for Pigs.
Machine for Pigs. And then they just released one not too long ago, right? The Bunker.
Yes, I think that was the fourth Amnesia game. For a load of years, those were the only two Amnesia games.
Yeah, that's right.
But
really
then
was,
they made a third one called Rebirth, where for, I think, the entirety or big chunk of the game, you're a pregnant woman.
Ah, okay. Makes sense. Rebirth, yeah. Right? I'm with you.
And then the fourth one called The Bunker?
Yes, that was it's almost set in like World War II or I or something, right?
Yes, I think it's World War I and the entire game's in a bunker. That also looks just terrifying.
Yeah, don't get me started. All of them do. Even if it's 14 years old, this game is terrifying. This, like, I was looking back, this game actually won the 2011 Independent Games Festival Award for Excellence in Audio. And technical excellence
of course.
Award. I don't particularly
of course,
know
of course.
Is,
ladies and gents, this is the Indie 500.
Yes,
I always
true.
Forget to mention
yeah, it's
that.
True. It's an indie game, yeah.
We bring forth indie games that you should play because these are the good stuff. This is where the heart of gaming is.
Agreed. Especially like Skull and Bones just came out and it's horrible.
Oh, no. I don't.
And indie games are still just knocking it out of the park.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, Skull and Bones, get that. Patooey, get that out of
here. Yeah, exactly. Get out of the way. should we jump straight into narrative? Because, you know, I'm still sweating from this. I've got cold sweats even talking about this game. I'm scared the shadows are going to get me.
I'm not entirely sure. I didn't finish this game. Let me say that up front. I know it's not a super long game, finish it. Although the premise for this game is in the title.
Yes, yeah, it's kind of a given, right? Yeah, by all accounts. Guess what? You have amnesia.
Whoa! No way!
And
so
it's dark,
you can
and you
see...
Do
I don't...
descend. So, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And you descend into darkness.
Yeah, exactly. It really is, yeah. It's very
it's
well.
In the title.
It is what it says on the can, yeah.
How do I say that? So, the game starts with you seeing the last 10 seconds of you before amnesia-ing, if
yes,
I can use it
course.
As a verb.
Yeah, that's a great verb, yeah.
And then you wake up in this decrepit castle with no idea what's going on around you, which is a great start to the game. I know it's played out by now that...
Yeah, it has now. Yeah, it's true.
At
the
start
amnesia,
of a story for some sort of piece of media, a person has amnesia.
Yeah.
So they're learning the story with the audience. What?
Whoa, brand new idea, right?
Yeah.
Back in the day, it was used, but it wasn't as mainstream it is now. Because they use it in the premise, that's why you have to relearn all your skills and why you can't do this anymore. But no, this is... You're Daniel, you awake in the deep, empty halls of Brennenburg Castle in Prussia.
Good names.
Which is great,
good names.
Granted, by the way, also was a place in Prussia years ago, Brennenburg. Was, and a person, he was a person.
Really?
I don't know much more. This is old German history, I believe.
Yeah.
But I do know those places do exist, which I always like when games use real
and
locations.
I think this game was set... 100 years ago when Prussia was still a place?
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly correct. Yeah, I believe that's true.
And it's I enjoy the fact that you, Daniel, who have given yourself amnesia.
Yes.
You tell yourself this through letters.
True, yes. You've picked up the notes.
Exactly. You're not a dumb person who didn't think about what's going to happen after you give yourself amnesia. You leave yourself clues.
It's like a really dark PS I love you Just lots of little love notes to yourself saying,
yes,
oh, you must kill Alexander and why you should do it. And yeah, it is clever. It's a clever idea.
I like it. No, it's not very dumb.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought there was one keynote which doesn't quite spoil the story.
Yeah.
But I loved that the idea that the amnesia, the reason people were getting amnesia, or the one reason why you've got amnesia, was that they were being tortured.
Yeah.
And you had to give them amnesia so that they couldn't remember what the torture was like, so they'd be scared of the torture again each time they got tortured anew. Which I thought that was a really scary concept.
The idea
that they did it on purpose. They gave people amnesia
and
so the torture could be fresh again. I thought, whoa, that's
torturous
dark.
In itself.
Yeah. That's dark and twisty.
Even though you might not remember it, that would have a huge, hugely long-term effect. Of course, physically, but I think emotionally as well.
Oh, definitely. And if you think about this game's like that. The narrative is fairly simple, and I know that it goes a bit on about Baron Alexander and I believe he's trying to create a portal between worlds in some regard by using the vitae from torturing people. Gets a bit mystic, I suppose. Am I right? I know I watched my brother play it. I know it's some, he's the Alexander, big bad, you're Daniel, you gotta kill him, and he's doing something bad with torturing people. There's a reason he tortures people to get some sort of substance. I remember
that. Yes, isn't it vitae? I don't know.
I think it is vitae.
Here's the thing, your narrative, man.
Mm. Yes, but then so
I'd be more than inclined to just listen. You,
this is the funny thing.
Tell me this story. I played the game. I didn't get very far. I enjoyed the game, but.
Ladies and gents, I was telling Nick the other day how far have you got so far? And I was like, oh, I'm past the wine cellar. I just got some acid to burn the weight. And he says, oh, that's not far. And I think he doesn't quite understand that the third, like, 40 minutes to an hour, I'm slowly edging around the corners because there's a shadow after me. I'm not, like, speed running this thing. Everywhere I go, there's some sort of whisper or noise or distortion.
But that's
talking.
The game. That's horror games. That's amnesia.
It took me like 3 hours to get to the wine cellar because I didn't know where the hell I was going. But yeah,
let me be the first to commend you.
Yeah.
For playing this game for our fans, we thank you, David.
Yeah, this game was hot. This game was so much worse than like Dead Space and stuff for me. You can shoot things. You can do things, you can beat up the bad guys. And this game, ladies and gents, you don't get any sort of weapons. You can't damage the bad guy. All you can do is hide and try and not go insane, which is just another level of pressure when playing a dark, scary game like this, because it's too real.
It does feel like it. Would you say the immersion in this game had its effect on you, as it should?
Oh, definitely.
It immersed you.
It's this game does that beautiful balance of thinking you're vulnerable.
Yes.
You know, if you were, what's the guy in Dead Space, right? I want to say Vincent. What's his name?
In Dead Space?
The protagonist in Dead Space.
Isaac Clarke.
Isaac, sorry. At least there you're in armor, you're protected. Daniel in this game is just you. He's got no skills.
He's a dude.
Yeah, he's an educated British English guy. That's it. So you're not a soldier, you're not like superpowered. It's literally virtually you in this space. So you hide, you're scared. Like there's a vulnerability to that other games don't give you. That you're genuinely just scared and vulnerable
all the time.
And that is scary. This game puts that across so well in the narrative and everything else you'll hear later.
I do think taking away all of your still giving you agency, but not giving you any tools to fight back.
Yeah, right.
Makes you so extremely powerless. Whereas, Resident Evil.
Yeah.
And like you said, Dead Space. Those are giving you the tools to fight back.
Oh, very much so, yeah.
You've got power.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're still overpowered, but you've got some power. And that's why I think a game like this and a game like Silent Hill.
Correct, yeah. Got the same kind of feelings from it. Yeah, you're
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. It does so well. Grant, the horror is done well too. But the feeling of powerlessness adds to it. It just adds to it.
Yeah, I remember there was a great interview with the, I think, artistic director or just the director of the game.
Yeah.
And he said it was great fun for him to watch people play it on YouTube and stuff because he knew where the bad guys were programmed to be.
Of course.
And he'd watch people play and he'd know there's not a bad guy for another 20 minutes.
But
he'd watch people play just edging around corners or hiding in cupboards and just switching on all the candles because they're freaked out. And he knows. Nothing's there. And it just made him giggle internally because he's like, whoa.
People were
making their own fears. They were making their own terror or own nightmare about the situation. And he knew there was nothing there. So it's
because you know who's your biggest enemy in a horror game?
Well, yes, yourself, your mind, right?
Yeah, yourself, exactly.
Yeah. Or fear.
In
itself,
a setting
right?
like that, you're being scared, but you're scaring yourself. Have you ever seen Moist Critical, Charlie? Have you seen him play a horror game?
No, I've not seen him play a horror game, no.
Nothing.
Oh, really? He loves that type of stuff, does he?
Flinch.
Yeah. That's just not me. I'm that guy whose child... You saw the video where the child just touches his arm whilst he's playing a horror game and he screams like a big girl. Because the child came out of nowhere. That's me. Like, I'm not Moist Critical. I'm not Charlie. I haven't got those balls of steel or whatever you want. You know. But this game does take it to another level. Narratively, even the little notes, even the little like narrative notes of people, you get narrative notes of people who worked for Baron Alexander, who got screwed over by him or got captured by him. And all the little narrative
stories. There's a crew that he promised some wine. I'm assuming that's who you were mentioning.
Yeah.
And then he locked them in the cellar and then tortured them.
They kind of died and kind of burst from the inside or something, if I remember the name.
Something like that.
Yeah,
yes.
No, all those little stories build a nice little world, but it's just the crawling through it and hiding and hearing and all the other things
crawling
for me.
Crawling would be the best word.
Another world. No, it is very good. Narratively, it's fairly simple, but everything else, as we're talking in a moment, visually and audio is where this thing goes up to 10.
Fine, let's go to visuals then. That's where this game just ups the ante. The graphical fidelity isn't... I mean, it's an indie game made 14 years ago. It's not... The graphical fidelity isn't...
It's not what we're used to today.
Super, no.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, exactly.
No, but there are things this game does... The visuals and the audio. There are certain tiny little tricks this game pulls.
Exactly.
You don't care how bad the graphics is. Because in this moment, it's doing what it's supposed to do. It's immersing you and making you shit your pants.
Exactly right. It's that same thing they do visually in this game. Like you said, it's not perfect. It actually reminded me, you never played the old Thief games at all, did you?
I saw them.
The older ones, granted, before your time. It reminded me, the same atmosphere reminded me. The graphics are good, they're not great. But just their use of camera in this game is just off the charts. The way they blur the screen and then they move the camera from an unstable perspective. Like, it's no longer just a vertical and horizontal axes. It starts shaking.
Yeah. So
you can feel your guy getting terrified, which is terrifying. The screen goes blurry. It tilts. There's even one bit where I didn't work out the menu system until a bit later, so I didn't know you could actually check your insanity on that brain
you
thing,
didn't?
Right? I just thought, okay, what's going on? There was one part where my guy literally just like collapsed and then got up a little later. He was so scared. I was also scared thinking what the hell was going on. He collapsed on the floor and like had a breakdown and then got back up again. And I don't know if I was close to dying then or not, but I just thought, damn, this is insane. My character collapsed from fear. And I was like,
I know,
whoa.
That's horrible. I would also, this is a game and my brain knows this is just a game. It's not. But if I was in a setting like that, pants crappingly terrifying, I would also collapse from fear.
No, exactly. And that's the vulnerability that this game gives that other games don't. That you know, we all say these things like, it's all cool. So if you were ever in a scenario when you were stuck on a space station and xenomorphs or I can't remember the bad guys from Dead Space, what they're called.
Necromorphs.
Necromorphs, thank you. The idea that I, you know, you see all the movies, oh, let's gear up and get the vests and the guns and stuff like that.
Oh, we need to fix the tram. Okay, I'll go fix the tram.
I'm getting locked in a room. I'm staying in a locker. I don't know. I'm going to the escape pods. There is no way. If it was the last choice, sure. But my rational brain comes into play, and I think to myself, I would be fairly useless at it. I can swing a bat and stuff like that, but if there's some sort of armor-piercing necromorph that's going to chop my head off, yeah, I might just hang back. I'm just saying, that's just me.
I'm not going to lie. Yeah. If I was on the USG Ishimura,
yeah,
hundreds and thousands, millions of miles away from any type of redemption,
yeah,
I would just take the nearest weapon and off myself.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry, this is getting very dark, ladies and gents. But yeah, that does seem like a rational choice in a lot of these games.
Right,
like,
it is, unfortunately. Like, seriously,
yeah, it really is kind of more rational than a lot of the things games make you do. But like visually, this game, it's got that lovely degree. Amnesia's got that lovely degree where there aren't bad guys around every corner.
No.
It's actually very few, really.
Although it's trying to fool you into thinking there is.
Exactly. I'm sure if you actually like wrote down the amount of times you actually see the bad things, yeah, I bet you it's like 12 or 15
or
20.
Yes,
right?
It's not many times.
But you're just so freaked out when those times might be occurring.
That's it.
Yeah, it's so... Oh, it's too much. It is
Horror games where there are enemies around every second corner... Lose its luster within 10 minutes.
Yeah,
yes,
that's
exactly. That's
every
not
room's
a horror game.
Chock-a-block full of demons and monsters and flaming things. Yes. Yeah, it's not scary after a while. Yeah,
it's a horrifying setting, sure, but it's definitely not a horror game. This one does it so extremely well. You don't see anything.
No,
but the game's trying to fool you into thinking
they don't even let you. They don't even let you look, do they? This game, one of the features, if you stare at the monsters, not only will you lose your insanity faster, you'll be found faster. So when you see a monster, gameplay-wise, you're supposed to turn around and find like a cupboard or a little hole or a corner that's dark where you just turn your back on it and kind of hope that you're not going to die. It's so dark.
Slender game did this as well.
Yeah, it's true.
Slender,
yeah,
the 8 pages. What year was that?
I'm not really much of a... I don't remember years that well, but that seems close to the same time.
2012? That can't be. What was the... It is! This was after the Dark Descent. Really?
Maybe it was just using the premise that was popular then. Well, Amnesia...
I guess so.
This game's so scary. It's like, I don't... Again, I try to wonder, like, I know you like for games like this and other people, why would you want to, like, I had to push through the review of this game, because, of course, it's what we do here, we review games and have some fun, but I was like, first 20 minutes in, I'm thinking, geez, this is just, give me a puzzle. I was so happy to come across a puzzle, something to do that wasn't sneaking around a corner, or hearing torture, or... hearing monologues from the different notes or Daniel's...
That's the game, baby!
Yeah, this game is scary. This is one of the scariest games I think I've played. And I haven't played many, but this is definitely up there. You know, this is psychologically gets you, which is well made in that regard.
Unfortunately, though, it does look dated. So for people who can make that, that can switch off...
Yeah, it's true.
Their heads, that this game does look a bit old, but it's still scary. Yeah, if you can switch that off, you'll be fine.
Yeah, but it is. Like I said, I can understand the younger generation and stuff looking at it, and it would put you off a bit because it does look dated. It hasn't aged well in the visual, just the tables and the doors and the valves or the cranks you got to pull. They are all very kind of like old school graphics for like the Xbox 360 era, say. And the PlayStation 3. Was this just a PC game?
I think
it
was.
Did it come out the consoles?
I don't think it got any other releases other than PC.
Makes sense.
Because of the level builder support.
Yes, of course. Yeah, that's true.
I don't think you can port this to any console.
Yeah, and because of the control system as well, because it's more just pick up and move and drop.
And the inventory system, all
exactly,
of that.
Yeah, no. Anything else visually? Like
yes, you know what looks the absolute worst? that's aged horribly.
Go on, what's
the monster design?
the monster design, they somewhat reminded me of Stranger Things, but like a really vague, toned down version. Have you watched Stranger Things?
What in Stranger Things?
You know that big thing, I don't know the names, the big thing that opens its mouth with lots of teeth.
The Demogorgon in season one.
It's season one, yeah, that thing.
Yes.
That thing was scary.
Oh, that makes sense.
This
yes,
looks
I
like
can
it's,
see that.
It's
the
cousin, like four times sense, removed, yes. Who's a bit bold. Yeah, you're right. They're not that scary anymore, especially with what we're used to in games and all the other things that come out in, say, Dead Space and all the other scary things. Yeah, they're not this. The thing is, sorry, I know I'm jumping on your point. You say they're not that scary anymore.
No,
I didn't like them. I didn't find them jovial or comical when they were near me. I was like, that's scary enough for me, mate.
Of course not. I mean,
that'll do me.
In context, they're chasing you. Yep. They want to kill you. That makes sense. But they look so unintentionally funny now with their bulging eyes and their dad bod.
Yeah, no. I've
got
the same
a dad
thing.
Bod.
Have you ever? I know you played Half-Life 2, right?
That's right.
You're a big fan, right? Have you played the original Half-Lives?
Yes.
And going back to those graphics, it's just so funny now. Like the Half-Life 1 graphics, when you just not the remake, the original graphics of the scientists and the bad guys.
Yes, from 1998.
Yeah, I agree. Those bad guys just aren't scary anymore.
No.
Any of the aliens, any of the
head crabs on the
zombie. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
No, they're not.
So I get
the
what you
noises
mean.
They make are though.
True. True.
But I think the noises, it's, I keep saying this every single time, but the noises can change something that looks dumb.
Yes.
From being goofy to scary.
Agreed. Like, as everybody knows, I'm sure, horror games, and I'm sure this is what you're getting at, that visually and sound just are such bedfellows.
Yes.
You know, you one without the other would feel empty and horrific, but when they work, they just work on such another scale in regards to video gaming or scary games compared to just like Battlefield or something like that. Just sound in this game is insane. Is this? Do you want to jump to audio? You got anything else?
Let's do it. Let's do it. No, let's go to audio. It's
okay, audio man. Like,
come on.
Now this won an award, right? This is the excellence in audio award, right?
So. This game, it's difficult to review to judge the music in this game.
True.
It's
true,
only
yeah.
there to serve one purpose, and that's to immerse you in the atmosphere
even further.
Yeah, yeah. If I could give an award to this game for one thing, it would be the atmosphere.
Yes, agreed.
And the atmosphere is a mixture of audio and visuals and a bit of narrative because of the setting. So the atmosphere takes the cake. Easily. Yes. And the audio plays a big part in that. Not necessarily for the music, but for the sound design. Oh, man, the sound design's good.
Yeah, but I say, this is one of the reasons it took me so long just to get to the wine cellar. Because, you know, it's night and you've got the headphones on, just like most people. And then you just get that, you know, it's a cliche, the creaking wood or the wind blowing through the castle rock as you're just going through a hallway, or footsteps from somewhere else, which isn't you. I know it's all cliche, but with the darkness and you collecting tinder boxes and just the sense of vulnerability that makes you feel you're alone in the castle.
Yes.
There aren't other people. There's no one who's coming to save you. There's no rooms of people that you can go and help you with. You're alone in this big, dark, scary castle.
That's just how horror games work, Dave.
Yeah, I know, but it's just the echoes and the footsteps and just the fact there's no life in there.
Yes,
is portrayed in the sound in this game a lot, which just adds to the level of tension when you hear anything.
It's really crafted well too. Because they don't use the sounds too often, so you get used to them.
Every now and then,
they'll just throw in a sound they know will mess with you, but they'll put it soft enough so that you'll doubt.
Yes, yeah.
So that you'll second guess yourself if you even heard it or not, right?
But that's one of the things that got me, is that he starts hyperventilating, Daniel, the guy you play. When his insanity starts going too high, he starts breathing heavily, and you can start hearing him going... Like, you can hear him on the breach of breaking of just tripping and collapsing or just going into a coma or something, and it makes you stressed out. It makes
it does.
I need light. Where was the last time I put light? Where's the chandelier? It just gets to you. It's what this was tough.
Yep. My favorite part of the sound design of this entire game is that sometimes you think you hear footsteps next to you for no reason.
Yeah, don't even get me started. But yeah,
you know there's no one, or you're 80% sure there's no one next to you, behind you.
Yeah.
And you're walking, and then all of a sudden, you hear two pairs of footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
So you stop, and then you can hear those footsteps for a second too long.
Yeah.
Right? You stopped, but oh, there's another second of footsteps. Yes. Yes. Yes, I am shitting my pants.
No. I'm in a cupboard. By the second step, I've found a cupboard. I remember where the cupboards are. I hang out in the cupboard for like 30 seconds, which I'm not even sure. So, like, light helps you gain your insanity or gain sanity.
I think it just stops the decline.
But in darkness, you're supposed to lose your sanity. So I don't know if hanging in a cupboard actually made it worse, even though
that's a good point.
Felt a little bit more protected because I was in a cupboard, and for some reason that works. I actually read an interesting note. Somebody said one of the designers of the set pieces and stuff in the game, there's supposedly a note somewhere in the game that denotes that the more insane you become, the more likely it is for the bad guys to find you.
Really?
Which is a lie.
Oh.
They put that lie in there to add another degree of tension to the whole scenario.
That's good. I didn't even know that.
They didn't program that in at all.
Yes.
But they put a note there to say, the more insane you go, the more likely you'll be found.
Don't suck at this game.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to become harder. That reminds me of mechanics from two games. Sorry, this is going to be a tiny tangent.
Have you
ever played one? Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice?
No.
Have you ever played Demon's Souls?
Yes, that I have played. That one I'll give you.
Okay. In Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice,
you got
some sort of rot on your hand.
Okay.
Right. And the game tells you when you start, the more you die, the more this rot actually spreads across Senua.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And if it reaches up to her neck, the game deletes your save file.
Whoa, stressful. That's super stressful, right?
Right. Yeah, so you've only got a certain amount of lives. You don't know how many.
Yeah.
At that point, you could be thinking, oh damn, can I die 5 times, 50 times?
Yeah,
the game doesn't tell you.
That's a cool mechanic.
Some meta stress.
Yeah, that's a cool mechanic. That is super stressful.
Yeah. That, what you said, reminds me of that. And also in Demon's Souls, they've got this thing called Will Tendency.
Okay, go on.
Which is a very old and dated mechanic, because a lot of people don't like it at all. It makes a complete sense after I tell you this. So, when you're in a world in Demon's Souls, there are five worlds, I think. Yeah. When you die in a world, the world tendency becomes worse.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
If you do certain things, it becomes worse. If you kill an NPC, it becomes worse. If you die with humanity, it becomes worse. When it comes to a certain point in the negative, the game will just add more enemies.
Ah, just yeah. Okay, got you. Just to mess with you. Yeah.
This is how the game turned out in actuality. When you die enough times, the game will add more enemies.
So the more you die, the harder the game gets.
Exactly.
Jeez. I love these mechanics because they're inventive and they're brand new. And I understand why people would get frustrated by that.
Yes.
Because we all know Demon's Souls games and stuff like that. As soon as you get ganged up by like 3 or 4 enemies,
you're done. You're toast. Done. Bye. Yeah,
that's right. Exactly. So I can understand that frustration. But I love the idea of the mechanic. It's always good to see people trying a new idea instead of
experimentation.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it would have been cool if they actually coded in that.
It would.
The monsters would find you easier if you were.
more insane.
You had a tendency to be more insane more often.
But I do kind of just love the trick. I love the out-of-the-box thinking of just putting that a note in there.
That too.
There's even a weird little Easter egg in the game where in one of the rooms, if you stack up all the chairs or boxes, you'll go right to the ceiling and there's a little note where they just say hello. Which is a nice little note you can find.
You only get that in games from 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah,
or
true.
Indie games.
Yeah, that's right. It's like the Grand Theft Auto, was it Vice City or San Andreas?
Yeah.
Where there's actually a note on the wall that says, you're not supposed to be here.
No, isn't that Doom.
Oh, there's a few. There's a few.
I can imagine.
I know it's basically if you clip through the wall of you find some sort of weird string of circumstances where you can get somewhere and they've added.
Yeah.
You're right. Those things were always a lot of fun to find. And I do find it's a bit sad they don't do that as much anymore.
I know. It's because game is such a serious medium.
Yes, of course
now.
It is.
You can't
it has
joke
to be,
around.
Right?
This is serious stuff.
No, agreed. There was another great one in Max Payne 2.
Go have fun here. Go have fun in Helldivers 2.
Max Payne 2 had a window you could go through, and then when you went through the window, there was a body on the floor with a wooden stake through its heart.
Oh,
and
yes.
In blood, it was written Buffy, which was a great little nod to the times.
It's when
Buffy the Vampire Slayer was big on TV, and then Max Payne 2 came out roughly the same time. No, it was a great little nod. Those things are
fantastic.
Anyway, why
can't games be more like that? Okay, anyway.
And the audio in the game, I know it's weird to say it, but I guess it's in theory because of my upbringing and the history, but
yeah,
horror games set in Europe are always scarier to me. I know it's weird, but we're in an old castle in Germany. Your player is English. The Baron himself, I can't remember where he was from. I'm guessing German. And I don't know why. It's just because of history or something like that. I always find
it's different.
Europe scarier. I don't know why.
Because of the folklore.
Yeah, I guess that is
Europe
true.
Has
yeah, exactly.
some. Europe Twisted. Has some deep.
Really has.
Deep folklore. You know better than I, but...
No, I think you're right. I think it's like upbringing, and we've all heard of Aesop's Fables and the Grimm...
Yes.
The Grimm Tales. The Grimm Brothers. Are fundamentally European as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's just something added to the fact it's all set in Europe, and that just... And the old castle, you know, it just reminds me of like Wolfenstein. Granted, an old game I haven't played in a very long time. There's just something about European horror that just adds it to another level.
I get it. I think you're onto it.
The fact you're British, so you're in a strange land, if you know what I mean. I know he was an educated English guy, Daniel, so he probably did live there. But the idea that you're also a foreigner in another place where you can't... I know, just there's a degree of loneliness to that that kind
of
just
no,
adds
of course,
to the
of course.
Gameplay as
you
well.
You are a foreigner.
Yeah, you
that
are literally
That is also
alone.
Scary in and of itself.
Yeah, there's a vulnerability and loneliness to that aspect of the game too.
Okay, so you were able to relate to Daniel on a much deeper level than I.
Do
you think this could also be why this game scared you much more than it did me?
Agree. Yes, I think so. Strangely enough, on a weird note, I am called Dave, but I was originally going to be called Daniel, just as a weird... My original name was going to be Daniel. It got changed just at the last minute. So yeah, I actually do weirdly relate to the English guy called Daniel. I was also, strangely enough, I am half German.
So you've been in Germany.
I am Daniel, fundamentally. So that's why it scared me so much more.
Jeez.
No, it's a weird coincidence,
Whoa.
But yes. No, I think you could be right. I could have just... I'm, of course, not much a fan of scary games. I like playing them, but there probably was another level of immersion I had because...
Yeah, I could. 100%. Have you ever been in a castle in Germany?
Yeah, a few. It's my family loved... No, kidding. My family on holidays loved going to castles and going to the torture chambers and stuff like that. So I have actually been in a few castles in Germany. So yeah,
wow.
I just realized now. Now I know why I was so stressed out in this game.
This was too real
for me. Yeah, by all accounts,
that was very real for. Wow.
Yeah, no,
okay.
this game is scary for some. It was probably another level for me to some degree.
Of course, now it all makes sense.
But this game is scary. Jeez, just the one thing I'll say: the storyline is the least scary part for me.
True.
The atmosphere and what you're doing is the scariest. The storyline was just kind
because
of the carrot on the stick.
Yes, I think because the game doesn't let Daniel do much.
Yeah, correct.
powerless, and you can't do much to combat that fact.
No, exactly.
You can only do one, maybe two things. Make light,
correct.
And run.
And I think narratively, I forgot to mention, I think it's got three different endings.
Oh,
there's,
it does?
I think, yeah, there's one, I won't go into it, you can either succumb to the darkness and I guess makes get sense. Killed. You can somehow
overcome
darkness and defeat Alexander.
Yes, that makes sense.
And there's another one where, I can't remember what the thing is, but you think you throw someone's head through the portal before Alexander gets through the portal, and that gives you another ending, another like a different, more I guess folklore-y ending where I
should
think
we spoil
you die
it?
But then I won't do, I don't remember exactly, but I know there's three endings. I know it's something along those lines.
Okay, so this game even has multiple endings.
Yeah, that's cool. So replay once. I forgot about
this
that.
This really is.
There's no way I'm playing this game three times though. There's not a chance of
but if you were a YouTuber and your career kickstarted, then
that's true.
Yeah, I've played this game 500 times.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Anything else audio you want to talk about?
No, let's go on to gameplay. One, I think that's a bit... That's fine, right? The gameplay is fine. Maybe even lacking sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. If you're really to break it down, I agree. Yeah, it's not really the most...
Technically, sure.
Yes.
You're not doing much. But there's one thing that this game did that... absolutely took everyone by storm, and that's the physics engine.
Oh really? This okay, I remember, granted I guess I'm too used to physics engines being so common now and just got
now it's common, but in 2010
that's true, it's true.
In 2010 a physics engine like what was the popular physics engine called then? Havok.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, that was odd.
Right. The Havok physics engine, which is what I think this used. That was cool. That was just cool. Picking up a chair and throwing the chair and seeing the chair just chair against the floor was cool.
You're right. It's a funny thing that you're describing now, so it sounds so completely not cool.
Yes.
What, just moving a chair is cool? What are you talking about, Nick? Like, what the hell?
But not just moving a chair. No, throwing the chair.
Some of the puzzles also had like a nice physics to it. Like when you had to take the piece of wood out the rope trapdoor.
Yes, to open the trapdoor.
Yeah, there was. That's true. They did actually have the puzzles... was simple, but they did have a degree of physics and like rationale.
Yes, and
to
you
them.
Don't
yeah.
just click on the piece of wood.
Yeah.
You need to tug at it with your mouse.
This again, if you don't have context, we're praising something very strange right now.
It's okay.
Like, you get to hold
please
the wood
take
it
in
and
context.
Move it.
We're tugging in context.
Yes, it's one of those weird things. You're right, in these games, that wasn't a thing. Normally, back in the day, ladies and gents, 14 years ago, you just press X or enter and it would do it for you.
Especially
the crank
games.
Would move or the lever would go down and stuff like that. We all know that we've all played that. This game, you have to move the lever. You have to pull the rope, the wood out the rope to allow the trapdoor to lift up and stuff like that, which is, this was a
correct.
Big thing back then because it was a new immersive aspect to gameplay, which was, wasn't
was
a thing then.
Cool. Well, I enjoyed it.
Yes, I agreed. One thing I think this game did gameplay-wise, which is very reminded me very much of Resident Evil, is just the scarcity of tinder boxes or lamp oil.
Oh, yeah. The
right?
oil. Yes.
I was just... It's one of the... Like, tinder boxes... I was slightly confused because tinder boxes weren't in a box. I know it's a weird little thing. It was in a cylindrical pot, and I don't know why they were called tinder box, but anyway... The stress of having a tinderbox or only having a certain amount of oil
tinder
for your
box.
Lamp.
Okay, so we should rather just call them tinder cylinders.
Tinder cylinders. Yeah. But the stress of only having 12 and knowing they're the only way to truly increase your sanity back. Granted, there were some areas that had light themselves. But I was going through tinder boxes like they were my best friend because...
Oh, same.
Oh,
same.
And then...
There's one point in the... I think it was the big wine cellar that had the large wine barrels.
That's right, that's right, yeah.
That's the first time you see the butt of the monster.
That's true.
Or
that's
you
true.
Think you see it. And I didn't know how to progress, so I just used all my tinder on that.
Yeah,
I tinder cylindered the hell out of the wine cellar.
It's just, and one of the, initially I didn't know that it was using Tinder. Sorry, yeah. Using Tinder is just a weird sentence in the 21st century.
Yeah.
Because I just thought you were switching on the lights. You know, in so many games, like we talked just now.
Oh, you just switch on the lights.
Pressing enter on a candle would just switch them on, or pressing enter. But it, yep. I didn't note until a bit later that I was using those Tinder boxes to
do
it. And I was like, oh.
Oh, shit. Oh,
there's not enough. And of course, later on in the game, you get potions for health and sanity. And there's like 10 throughout the whole game. So you've also got to resource those or ration yourself.
The scarcity is just another added layer of stress. This game just like is just stress simulator.
It really is. It's so wrong.
In Europe.
Yeah, it was so wrong. The idea that you're alone in a castle, very little things, you can't shoot, hit anything.
Nope.
I'll give you, they kept Tinder boxes in the weirdest of places in Germany. I don't know what that's, you know, under the bed and then hiding in here and in a barrel. Granted, that's probably in most games.
Go on. But even that, I just want to mention, isn't that just cool as well? There could be a pile of barrels in the corner of the room and you're thinking, I can pick up each barrel and throw them to the other corner and there could be an item in the corner.
Yes,
and there
yes.
usually was.
That's true.
Right? That's what I mean. The physics engine in this game had some meaning behind it. There was actual functionality behind it. If you didn't utilize the physics engine, sorry, tough game.
Yeah, it's true. I know, I agree entirely. There was one bit, I know you're a Monkey Island fan. You played the Monkey Island games, right? And I know it's weird. How am I comparing Amnesia to Monkey Island, right?
Do it.
There's one bit in the game where you have to make an acid and get to a door so that you could melt the membrane that was on the door in some way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, now that you mention it.
Now, weirdly, that reminded me of a scene from Monkey Island. Do you know what scene I'm talking about? I'm curious.
No. Which Monkey Island game?
Monkey Island 1. I think it was 1. The first
Okay. Monkey Island. The Secret of Monkey Island.
That could be it. Yeah, I forget the names, but yeah.
Could be it.
Can you remember there was... Sorry, so we're going on a weird tangent. There was Otto was kept in jail. He was in a jail cell. No? And you had to go to the pub, go to the back and get grog, and then take your grog to the jail cell to help melt the lock on his door so he could get out.
Wow, and Grog did that.
Grog did that because Grog, of course, is just a caustic alcoholic beverage for pirates to drink. Weirdly, I had that weird vibe playing this. I'm scared That's out my stuff. Mind. But That's just the idea stuff. That I had to take acid to a door to melt it for some reason gave me Monkey Island vibes.
Yes. Oh, I love that.
I thought the puzzles were actually quite good. They were kind of not tough, not easy. But if you don't know what you're looking for, or you're looking for... The acid one, for example, required 3 components. So you had to find all 3 components first.
Yes. And they were in a completely different place.
Yeah. And this is... That means you've got to go back to the areas you may have missed. So you've got to search places. I'm not a fan of searching places anyway. There's bad guys in there. And, you know, I might die.
But that's the thing. That's the tightrope this game is walking. Mm. You've only got so much mental... capacity,
yes,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You need to concentrate on your light supplies. You need to concentrate on not being seen. You need to concentrate on your sanity. And that's taking all of your mental capacity. But now, all of a sudden, you need mental capacity to look for ingredients. So now, you're stressed even more because you can't concentrate on everything at once. But the game is demanding you to.
Oh, and another beautiful aspect, it only just dawned on me, there's no map.
There's no map.
You can get lost, as did, right?
Got lost.
No, I'm not good at my direction, never have been.
Yeah.
So I'm always like, okay, I didn't go in that room on the right in this room. So I'll go back about 7 different rooms, and they go, is this the room I was talking about? And then I'll get lost, and you could get lost. I was desperately trying to press M to bring up a map so I could find out where I was. But there is no map in this game, which again just adds to that vulnerable, lost, it's scary, you're being chased down.
It does, it really does.
Resource, like you said, resource management aspect. Oh, it's insane,
even
the
worse.
Subtleties. Yeah.
There's a big library section.
Yes.
where you need to get a key, right? And at the way end of the library, through a couple of hallways, I get the key. And now I'm thinking, okay, this is an older game. I got the key, so now I can move on to the next area.
Yeah,
easy peasy.
Classy, yeah.
I move out of the office, and I can see at the end of the hallway, the monster is walking away. All right, so now they've added the monster into the mix.
Yeah.
Now I need to concentrate on the monster. All of a sudden, I have forgotten where I am.
Yes, exactly. No, that's exactly it. I know exactly that feeling. Happened to me all the time. And then you forget, like, oh God, what
such
is it?
Good,
the left,
it's
this
good
right?
design. You
yeah,
say,
no,
you're right.
Exactly. There's that, just that ferociousness of trying to remember where you're supposed to go and
all
not
you
die
need
and
to do is GTFO of this
yes,
library.
Exactly.
You just
exactly
need to escape the library. You got what you came for. Get going. But no, you've forgotten. It's dark. There's a monster.
Yeah, and you're getting no help. You're like,
that's right.
No
notes,
map, no nothing. No, yeah, exactly. Nah,
you've got less light now because you were standing.
Yes,
sure.
Exactly. And you've run out of tinderboxes and
good.
Your lamp oil's
it's
running
good
out. Yeah, it's good.
Because that's the point of the game. The point of the game is to stress you out.
It is.
And if it's doing that, it's doing its job.
It is doing its
this
job.
It's good
a game
design.
Genre. Yeah, and it is those little things when they add up to something great. That like just the idea of no map, or the idea of, we all know, limited resources being
yes
scary and putting you on edge.
Yes.
All those things tie up with the visuals and the audio, and it's just one stressful, scary scenario, which a
true
lot of games,
so
even to
true
this day, don't do well. There's a few good standoffs, Dead Space and Silent Hill and Resident Evil to some degree.
Yes.
Some of the newer ones get a bit too easy and stuff like
but
that.
But which games take away gives you agency but takes away your power?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm guessing
that's very
what new horror games do that? The new Alone in the Dark remake seems like it's
gonna
do that.
That's right. And in theory, you could argue, like you said earlier, Slender Man, you can't
I
really
guess,
do much to
I
him
guess
right. That's right. But you're right, it's that fear is just another level, and this
yes
game is almost the granddaddy of it. There are examples of it earlier, but this one is one that tied it all together to make this immersive, scary environment.
You call this a survival horror game?
At its fundamental core, yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can die of just getting insane. You can, and which of course, running out of resources would make you turn insane.
Right.
So
would that be it? One of the main draws of survival horror is resource management.
Yes.
And it is a thing in this game. You
100%.
Do need to manage your resources.
No, it's a big, strong thing in this game, entirely. And
you mentioned earlier, you only get 10 health vials throughout
something
the entire
like that
game.
Like, it's very limited health and very limited vials to reduce your insanity bit gauge. They're very limited. And hard to find. A lot of them are hidden underneath rubble and, like you said, behind brick walls or something like that. So, yeah, this is very much resource management. It is that they did that intentionally for that extra stress level that you get from it. And, yeah, it works. I was driving me mental. My guy literally collapsed and died at one point. I was actually slightly relieved. he fell to the floor and the screen went black. And I was kind of thinking, you know, in games, sometimes that happens, and then the next scene, you've been dragged to a lair, you've been dragged somewhere scary, and that was a game mechanic. But no, this one just said, you died.
I was like,
ooh.
GG.
I was like, thank God.
Because it's a release of the tension.
It is, yeah. That little bit where you know, okay, you can just like de-stress, get yourself another coffee, something like that, yeah.
Since we're still busy with gameplay.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the stress-inducing elements of this game. There's a thread that this game walks for tension and release. And I think most horror games need to do this as well. You need to walk the tiny thread that is tension and release. Music does this as well.
Yeah,
most games, I think, do this.
Yeah.
They put you in a tense situation, and the payoff is the release from you overcoming that situation.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And
horror games are essentially just extremely tense situations, and your release from that situation would be escaping it or overcoming it.
Well, it was always like I remember in Resident Evil, the safe rooms. You know, that scenario when you see a safe room and you're like, oh, thank God. It's like, let me go in there for a second. Yeah, exactly.
The perfect example.
Right. Yeah.
The safe room music would be the ultimate release. That's why some people fall asleep to that.
Mm, no, agreed entirely. And yeah, it's that overcoming it to get to that safe room in those games and stuff like that, to get to that 100%. Scenario. Oh, thank God. But then knowing you've got to leave the safe room to go into the stressful environment.
Exactly,
again.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's crazy. That it's just crazy. Brings back that same familiar tension.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're right.
And a lot of people don't like that tension and release.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of tension and you only get that release because of the buildup of tension.
Yes.
And that initial buildup of tension is why a lot of people do not like horror.
Yeah, exactly. That's fundamentally one of the reasons I don't. It's that.
Yes.
Because I immerse myself in games a bit like too hard sometimes. It's like one of the great examples. Have you ever played Time Crisis at the arcade? The gun game? Which I was, you know, you press the pedal, sorry, to get behind the wall and stuff to come out. I used to move my body to do that. So I'd move to the left to go behind the wall, then move right to shoot. Because I got so immersed in the scenario, it wasn't just, it was real for me. I was saving the world.
Ladies, one at a time.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I get a bit too immersed. And of course, these games, that's not kind of healthy.
Cool. I want to try that. I want to try that the next time I play Time Crisis.
Oh, you should. It just makes you so much better.
Yes, I can imagine.
Anything else gameplay wise?
No, I think we can move on to performance.
Did you have any performance issues?
I did. So this is where our scores differ slightly. Okay. You gave this a good performance score. I gave this a bad performance score.
Ooh, how come? Out of curiosity.
It's because I didn't get big bugs. Mm. I just got loads of tinier bugs.
For example?
I had some bugs, mostly regarding the physics-based engine, which I know I applauded earlier, but this was still 14 years ago when it had a lot of kinks that it needed to sort out.
It really
out,
did.
Right?
It really did, yeah.
Let's say those potions, for example, that puzzle.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So some items would fall out of reach.
Oh, damn. That would be
so
very
unfortunate. So I would need to pick up an item, but it fell out of reach.
Oh.
So I couldn't pick it up.
So you had to restart everything at that point, like restart your game.
Thankfully, though, it wasn't one of the potions that I needed that I had
game-breaking.
To pick up.
Okay, yeah, go. Okay,
it wasn't game-breaking.
Okay.
But there were bits where I needed to pick stuff up, or stuff that I did pick up, I couldn't pick up again because they fell out of reach. Or, another thing, they got stuck in each other.
Yeah, I know what you mean there. Yes, that was like the old physics engine thing. They would get stuck in each other.
The polygonal variables or something.
Yes, that's right. No, that was a thing back in the day. That was when we, like you said,
unfortunately,
it wasn't fine tuned yet.
No,
so those things did happen.
This was 2010.
Yeah, no,
of course it wasn't.
It was like I had the same kind of bit. You know, there's quite a few puzzles, but there's one puzzle where you take a rock and have to break through the wall, or something heavy. I can't remember if it was a rock or a bust or something. You had to break through the wall.
Oh, yes.
The amount of times I picked that up and tried and it didn't work, but you had to smack it at the exact spot on that wall somewhere. So I didn't think that was the answer until I went back and thought,
but see, that's what I mean. I'd categorize that as a performance issue.
Yeah, I'm just too used to those types of things, I suppose. But yeah, I agree. Yeah. It's not fine-tuned enough that it worked.
Did you just swing your mouse while holding it, or did you right-click?
No, I swung my mouse while I was holding it. Was I supposed to right-click? I was moving my mouse right and left. Like I figured I was doing a swinging action. Like, ugh.
Yes. Well, right-click is throw.
Ah, yes, I do know that because some parts of the game need you to throw it. At that point in the game, I didn't know that. Only later on did I realize that.
Later in the game, you get to I think it's just before the dungeon, some flooded hallways.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I know what you mean.
And there's an invisible monster thing in the water.
Of course.
You can just see it splash.
Yeah.
Not make any noise. And in that part, I'm trying to think now. In that part, you needed to pick up body parts and throw it across the room so it can eat that.
Yeah, to distract him with them. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, to run.
Yes.
Do you think they got lazy and they didn't want to make a monster? I'm just thinking now, is that laziness?
It's like, it's the end of the day, it's a Friday. Oh, I'm supposed to make this big fish type monster, but I don't want to.
Hey, just... boss, hear me out.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't imagination the scariest thing, right, boss? So what if we just make it invisible and people pretend
Right? I'm going to do that. Your hair looks lovely.
Yeah, it's the genius idea. Okay, have a good time, John. See you later. Yeah. Maybe you're right. Maybe I love those types of stories because they have to exist. I hope that's a thing. I love the idea. Oh, God, I've just, you know, I've drawn my 18th monster. I can't think of a 19th.
Can we just clock out?
Yeah.
It's my kid's birthday tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. I bet you those things have to happen. They really
Of course it happens. Yeah, it Games really are does. Made by humans. I love these stories.
And I swear, Suicide Squad was entirely that. Let's make a purple blog. That's bigger. Purple blog that's smaller.
Let's not bring up Suicide Squad.
Sorry. Agreed.
You mentioned earlier that stuff like the note on the ceiling that just says hello.
Reminds
you these games were made by people.
Yeah, exactly.
Humans.
Very true.
And it's an indie game that wouldn't fly in a AAA game.
Yeah, not anymore. Sorry. It's sad to think it because there were in the past. Like Borderlands had a ton of Easter eggs in it, like a fireplace. A resting fireplace from the Dark Souls.
Minecraft cave full of actual creepers.
And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I remember there's those in there somewhere. Batman. Yeah, exactly. See,
some of them still had
life and like fun added to it. You're right. Recent games, I can't hugely think of one where that's now a thing. Indie games do. There are still indie games that nod at their inspiration. Right. But AAA's not so much anymore.
Yeah. Indie games, that's where it's at. Go play indie games. Just go do it.
Yeah, agreed. So performance-wise, it was just lots of niggling little annoying bugs that just kind of combined into one.
They added up for me, unfortunately.
I got you. I didn't really have much of a problem. Couldn't really complain that loading screens, because this was the era of loading screens.
Yeah, 2010. Of course, there's going to be loading screens.
Yeah, and I didn't really have any problems. Like I said, I give you the physics engine needed ironing out. It wasn't... But it was new tech, so like we all know, anything that new comes out.
It was exciting. Serviceable, sure.
Yeah.
But exciting.
Yeah, exactly. Right? It is what it is. Like I said, you had a good, you had a bad playthrough. I had a decent playthrough. I think it can just happen either way, right?
Yeah.
If you in that scenario where you drop something like which didn't happen to me or got out of reach, that would be very annoying. It didn't happen to me, so it wasn't a big issue. Which is why we do this game, why we review both the games individually, so we can both get different perspective. So yeah, it's a hit and miss performance wise. Yeah. Okay, value for money, what did you think?
I think the value for money could be quite high for this game.
Okay.
Since the main point could be that you want a scare, you'll definitely get that in this game.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're buying this game to be scared, you're going to be scared. Good job. Well done.
It's got three endings, which is...
Three endings. That's another one.
Three playthroughs.
Just a different experience each time near the ending, granted. But the biggest reason that I think the value for money for this game is quite high, I think you should have this as well, is the level builder.
Yes, that's true. That did open up. For all those people who didn't think this game was scary enough, and so they thought, "Yeah, go on, fans, go make your own things, right? Go,
you do it. Show us how it's done."
And I'll give to their credit. Whenever fans get involved, be it Skyrim and all the other sites, they do amazing things.
Oh yes,
they are like, whoa.
Of course. I mean, in the main game, you're running down an old castle in Germany being hunted by corpse monsters.
Yeah.
And then also, in the same product, you could be flying down the hallway as Goku being hunted down by Thomas the Tank Engine.
Of course. No, exactly. I've always loved the modding scene or the gaming scene where the people, because they're so inventive. And so, I love the little stories. Did you hear about, sorry, I'm going a bit of tangent. You know the XCOM game? The XCOM 2 and XCOM originally was released in like the 1990s, like an old PC game, so I mean the ones you probably know of.
XCOM 2, XCOM what, the Bureau?
No, not the Bureau. The Bureau was horrible, but yes, that is an XCOM game. But anyway, there was a bunch of mods that made a mod called Longplay, where it took the original game and made it, stretched it out for a longer period of time, made it harder, made it more complex and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
Those mods who made that game were then hired by... To help build the next XCOM 2 and make a mod for it as well, because they did such a fantastic job. Modding scene's amazing. Yes. I love it when the modding scene gets hot. And I love I love developers that also allow it.
Yes,
you know, you
of
can
course,
understand a
of
lot
course.
Of them, like, this is my baby, I don't want anybody else to touch it, it's my magnum opus and
Come
stuff
on.
Like that. But I love the idea they just made it open source and everyone go nuts, and they did. And you're right, if you're into that scene, the value for money for this game is off the charts.
It really is.
Because
really
you can
is.
Make anything with it, fundamentally.
It's good. It's good stuff. And I think there's still a community for it 40
years
later.
I agreed. And
I don't know, maybe the sequels have got more of a community? I don't know.
I know that you can also buy the... There's a lot of places which now just do the Amnesia Collection. The Amnesia Collection isn't expensive. It's like $10, $12 and you get like...
it's a lot of games.
Yeah, the Amnesia one, the one you talked about. There's a lot there, and it is ported onto a few other things now, I believe.
Yeah.
So, no, it is. The value for money is there. If you want a game that's scary, like properly scary, this is it for me. This takes it to another level.
It does age. It does look a bit...
It does age, yes.
You can see its age, unfortunately.
Mm, yeah.
But that shouldn't stop you.
No, exactly.
If you can get past that... Just try it.
I'm trying to go through my brain of games that are scary, and I still really put this up there in the top three. I'm trying. Even the new ones, I give you that Silent Hills are scary and Resident Evil's are kind of scary. They're kind of campy scary, if you know what I mean. Resident Evil games have got that great campiness and stuff, so they're not...
Ooh, but it's good.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great, but it's not like... High levels of pure, like, terror.
No. Pure horror?
Yeah,
no.
Exactly.
The last pure horrifying Resident Evil was Resident Evil 7, and that was, I think, 7 years ago at this point.
Yeah, wow, jeez, yeah. Yeah, that's true. I don't know my numbers. Is that the one at the bog with the family?
It is.
Yeah, that one
You're
is scary.
In Louisiana.
Yeah, exactly. That one is a scary one. I'll give you that one. I'd still put this one above that one, though, scary-wise. Just for that sense of vulnerability.
Oh, would you?
In 7, you chop your arm off. In Resident Evil 7, your arm gets chopped off and you put it back on.
Yes.
There's a degree of, invulnerability you have. Granted, you can die, but... Again, that's the fun campiness of Resident Evil games, that they have that level of high intense...
Yes,
like,
there is
gross,
that suspension
and
of
that
disbelief.
Side. Yeah, exactly. Which
there
is
that suspension of disbelief. I do get you. That isn't here. You do feel just like
this is
Daniel,
just, yeah,
the
you
guy.
You are human. You are just a human guy
it does
trying
feel
to
like
take
it.
On something superhuman. And you just feel like how? Like, what are you going to... How are you going to do this? Nah, it's a great feeling. Well, a scary feeling. It's a great feeling for some, but yeah, it's... It really is another level of terror that a lot of games don't do.
For true. This is Amnesia the Dark Descent. It's so cheap.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah,
just try it. Just try it. I mean, if you don't like scary games, this is what scary games were 14 years ago. This pushed the bill. That's why we are still getting Amnesia sequels to this day.
Yeah, exactly right.
Because this
was such
a successful indie game.
Mm-hmm, exactly right. And fans love it because of the scariness. If you are a scary game fan, you got to play it.
Yes.
You've got to see if we're talking bollocks
just
or not.
Just try it at least.
But you've got to play the game.
Yeah, big respect. So our scores for Amnesia the Dark Descent, we took a trip to Germany 100 years ago and it was so much fun. And then all of a sudden, they forgot what they were there for. It's almost like their heart... Amnesia?
Whoa.
I know. So they made their way to the bottom of the castle where it's very dark. And they what's the word I'm looking for? Fought nice. Alexander and turned into the letter grade rating of B-.
Which, like I said, it just goes to show how good this game is. It's 14 years old and it's the same as Mass Effect. And Moonlighter and Mortal Kombat One that just came out recently, right?
Come on.
This is up where there were some big players. And that is just because the combination of how scary it is. You know, it is
true.
A bit
dated. B- is a very good game.
It is a great score for this game. And it is
if I could
it.
Score the atmosphere alone, yes. That's an easy A.
No, agreed.
It's game such an easy story. A.
I am going to uninstall this game after this episode. It's like this game is not going to be on my computer for much longer. There's just that aspect of it. It's gone.
Oh,
I'm playing Power World or something just to make it a little so I can get off edge and I can just play something silly or fun or cute. Like I say, I have to, you know, I've
got
to do that.
Oh, now. We've got something cute lined up for next week.
Oh, true. Very true. Yeah.
Before we... I'm sarcastic.
I know.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's episode. If you'd be so kind, you could leave us a review or follow us on our social channels. We're on YouTube and Instagram, but you could also send us an email. I'm nick@criticalarcade.com.
And I'm dave@criticalarcade.com.
Yes, but besides for your email, Dave, where else can we follow you?
Oh, well, I am out and about, and Nick just so happily helped me remind me that I actually do have a ton of family in Germany, and they actually live in Bavarian Germany, which is the older part of Germany. So I will take you to an old Bavarian castle, and there's loads of them out there. I don't know which one. They're all abandoned and empty, and I will lock you downstairs in one of those castles with no light. I'll give you a match. One match. No box to light it on. And I will keep you there until I... Oh, no, sorry. I'll just keep you there. So granted, you want a free trip to Germany? All right. Yeah, that's that. But if you don't like, you know, like a one-star Airbnb in the bottom of a castle in the middle of Bavarian Germany, then, yeah, don't follow me.
That's just kidnapping.
Yeah, that's true. That's fundamentally this one. I'll just kidnap you. You know,
that's not trafficking, but that's just kidnapping.
It's true. That's basically, yeah, it's very true. Well, that it is what it is.
Don't be kidnapped. Rather, follow us on Patreon for exclusive content like Critical Cinema and our post show, which are all very good. Speaking of very good, Dave, what cute and adorable game have we got lined up for next week?
As you heard, Nick, are we playing Pal World? No. Are we playing, I don't know, Monster Rancher or Pokemon? No. Are we playing Mama's Cooking or what the hell that game's called? I forget what it's called. No, we're not playing
Cooking
that.
Cooking Mama,
sorry. The next game we're playing is Alone in the Dark 3.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it's a nice vacation from the horror drama, right? Jeez. So yeah, we're playing Alone in the Dark 3.
Some more horror... and we're taking it back even further.
Yeah,
not 16 years. No, I mean 14. This game is 30 years old.
No, is it really 30 years
yes,
old?
Yes, Alone in the Dark 3, the second sequel to the influential Alone in the Dark, came out 1994, 30 years ago.
Nice. At least this can't be as scary. Just the graphics alone, it can't be as scary as Amnesia that we just played.
It can't, you're right.
I mean, a little reprieve.
It is going to be a bit stressful, but I think it's just going to be because we're fighting against the controls or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like the old school games. Oh, well, if you want to find out, you got to listen to next week's episode.
Yes. Look forward to us going back to DeSetto Mansion.
Yeah,
DeSetto Manor?
One of the two, yeah.
Granted. One of the two. Yeah. We're going to be someone Rigby. Ooh, what are their names again?
I don't remember. You're lucky I remember your name, Nick. Let alone the characters of a 30-year-old game. Eleanor Rigby. There you go.
Eleanor. Yes. So we're gonna be playing Alone in the Dark 3 again. Please look forward to that next week. We'll see you then. Cheers.
Cheers.